What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Hello and welcome. I am here with Wendy Mulda, and we are talking about leading through unexpected grief. Wendy, I'm super excited to have you on. I actually heard a little bit about your personal story, and I would love to just start there. Would you be willing to just share your inspirational story, like where did it all begin for you?
Hi. Good morning from Australia. Absolutely. Like, there's so many ways I could address that, because grief is something that has been a quite a lot of ease for me, and I always have known that there was a different possibility available. I've written a couple of books about grief. I've assisted many people. And then just, as I say, recently, unexpectedly, yes, my husband did die. He was on a bike ride and he went missing. And then after 7 days, he was found. And so I really had to be the space, I suppose, and the energy and the tools from all of the years that I have been working with grief, when this did occur with me personally. Yes, it was, and I think the biggest gift for me is to really being present with everything that was going on, and not, just not getting myself so distracted with so many different projections, or the whole emotions, and also being aware of all of that, but being also being willing to just be with everything in a space that allowed for so much more ease in my world, if that makes sense.
Yes, totally. But I think for you, actually, and we'll talk more about that for sure, but that even the grief that you've experienced, and you said you've worked with grief, started even as a young age for you. Could you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like it's at a very, very young age, being raped at a very young age, and not speaking about it, not saying anything to my parents, and really just, suffering personally for many, many years. And really, I suppose it wasn't until I actually came across, the tools of Access Consciousness, where I started having my bars run. And to me, it was an absolute miracle, because the migraines did leave me, because I was actually, because the migraines, I got to realize wasn't a migraine, it was actually my body giving me an awareness. And and so for years I got stuck in that, like in the pain and suffering. But when I was able to change that, so much more opened up.
Oh, that's amazing. And a lot of people out there do suffer from various maladies. how did you actually gain the awareness that it was an awareness instead of a migraine?
Well, it was actually just I could see, like, because from a very young child I started suffering migraines, and I suppose really it was just, from being raped at a very young age. So, and then I went to every source of way, I went to medical, I took pills, I did everything to try and see if I could ease this pain that I was having. And it wasn't until I had the bars, and the actual bars are these tools that lightly touch your head and they dissipate a lot of like thoughts, feelings that are back there. So once that started to release, I actually was like, oh, so what else is actually possible here, and what more is my it was like as if my body was giving me a totally different awareness, and it wasn't that there was another possibility, like the total like wiping the window clean, and actually, you know, if you can imagine that the window is really dusty and then wiping it, and then all of a sudden, oh wow, there actually is another possibility here. There actually is maybe a potency here that I've had for a long, long time that I've been suppressing. And then started to be more in asking more questions.
Well, wonderful. Would you share a little bit about how you've discovered Access Consciousness?
Well, when I was actually writing my first book with a group of other ladies, it was learning from grief, and we'd particularly been supporting someone who had lost a partner, and it was really clear for me, like, for 12 months, let's see what we can be and do to support her with different activities, you know, every month wherever we were in Australia. And then I actually got this email, and it was such an invitation. It was like, what if you could imagine anything was possible? And I was like, well, I really like the idea of that. And that's how I originally found out about Access Consciousness, the tools. And then it was just, yeah, I was just like, oh yeah, I'll have more of that, please.
Wow. So other than the migraines, what are some other things that changed for you through the tools of Access Consciousness?
Well, they just constantly keep, they constantly keep changing. I think one of the wonderful things is that you are able to actually become aware that there's a presence, like once you go beyond the, like, all of the pain, the suffering, all the trauma and the drama, once you go beyond that, there's this world of so much more space, so much more ease, and you can, you have this toolkit. And that's where I think it was such wonder, it was such a gift for me with, in just recently losing my husband so unexpectedly, I had this toolkit of different, you know, tools that I could use that could allow me to, yes, I still had the sadness, but I also still was alive and I could still keep being and living.
Well, I remember actually being on a call with Dr. Dane here, and I believe he was sharing with us about you and saying that, you know, he asked you how you were doing and you said, I'm doing fine, but except for all the crazy people around me. So, and like, but it's true. A lot of people don't know how to deal with grief. They also don't know how to approach somebody who lost somebody. Like, so what kind of advice maybe would you give people, like, when something like this happens, you know, not to necessarily go into a trauma and drama? Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think one of the biggest keys is to, like, to really just, you know, look, say to the person, look, even if it's as simple as, look, I really don't know what to say, but I'm here for you. Because what happens to a lot of people is they don't know what to say, so then they don't say anything, and then the person that is grieving, you know, they find that more upsetting, because whatever it is that they're grieving, whether it's loss of a pet or whether it's a breakup from their relationship or whether it's someone who's died, that that thing or that person or that animal has been in their life for many, many years. So it's so honoring for that person that or that being or that animal that was there to actually just say those words of, look, I really don't, just letting you know that my thoughts are with you. And it's much more of a kindness to actually say something. Because for years and years, a lot of people, it's been such a taboo subject. So a lot of people don't say anything. And and that can be more painful for the person, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure. No, that totally makes sense. It's like, say, yeah, but you don't have to have the right words. You don't have to. It's just telling people, I'm thinking about you. I'm here for you.
Yeah. It is. And I mean, and I'm really sort of quite excited in a way to see that, something else is actually opening up. In the area of grief, because the way that we've learnt about it is that it's one of those things that, like years ago, and it's changing, which is so cool, but it's just like we put it away, we hide it away, and because it's not there anymore, we can't see it, so we just hide it away and we get on with our life. And it's like, what if we could just have the opposite of that and speak about, just talk about it, and it's okay to do that.
I loved, I actually took some time to read through your bio, and I loved that you talked about how wrong you felt at early, even younger in your life, and how that changed for you. Would you talk a little bit about that? Share that.
Yeah, you just faded out a little bit then. I got the gist of it, but there was something about, like the wrongness. Was that, mm-hmm. You sort of faded out a minute.
Yeah, I was just wanting you to share a little bit about how you shifted from the wrongness of you into believing or seeing your greatness more.
Yeah, well, I think it was, one of the biggest things is actually getting to see for myself, a judgment is, because basically, if when you're doing wrongness, well, you're full on, you're doing judgment of yourself. And you're also not allowing yourself to actually receive a different possibility, to receive anything, any other different information coming in. And so I think probably the biggest, the biggest thing was actually through making a demand in my world, like really and truly, because I've been around so many people that have died, or I've facilitated people who are going through grief, I've facilitated people who have died in different locations, and I've been there with them. It was like the question was, well, hey, I'm alive, what is it that I want to choose? Like, what is it? What choice am I asking here for? Do I want to continue to be in wrongness and trauma and drama and judgment, or do I actually want to live and celebrate my living? And so it was really, and I suppose that's one of the gifts for me with grief, is for many, many years, because, there's so many different types of grief, but I have been with people who are dying as well, and I've in all the different areas. And so for me, it's always been like a great inspiration of like, well, I'm alive. What choice am I going to make today that's going to create more joy and possibility in my world? And what inspiration can that be to all the people around me? And so it is really a choice, and that's it. Like it is, and it's totally up to each and every individual, and that there is this choice that is available. And I think when you're in wrongness, or you're in judgment, or in your trauma and drama, there's a sense that choice is not available. So it's like actually making a demand in your world for choices to show up way beyond that you ever thought was possible.
So could you share a little bit about, because I know some people are probably going, okay, all right, I can get not judging myself and not being in the wrongness of me, but I've lost somebody I care about. Isn't sadness normal? And how do you differentiate between, okay, this is normal sadness that goes with grief versus this is trauma and drama?
Yeah, well, the thing is that, yes, absolutely, it is. There is sadness, absolutely, mm-hmm. because you miss having that person around, or you miss having that animal, or whatever it is. Like, you miss that. There is that. But the difference of where I'm coming from is that you don't have to get lost in it. You know, mm-hmm. You can still continue to live. And mm-hmm. the way that grief is set up in this reality is that's it. That's it. You know, you're embroiled in that. If you have the sadness, well, then that's all there is. And what I'm saying is there actually is more available. Like, you can actually, yes, have the sadness, but you can also be willing to continue to choose living. And it's like being that rock in the stream. Those thoughts and those feelings are going to come, for sure they're going to come, and I have those as well, but it's not like who I am totally 24/7. I'm also willing to allow for those to come, but also allow for them to keep flowing through, and so mm-hmm. is that then I can still have I can still have those moments of where I can still keep living, and I can still keep making choices. For sure.
Well, thank you for that. We will definitely talk more about that. We're going to take a short break here. We'll be back in just a moment. If you'd like to call back, you can call 202-570-7057 for any questions.
Best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Is it time to create a different and greater world? Through research, we can explore paths to new and exciting possibilities. The Hope Foundation for Possibilities and Change is a research-based not-for-profit organization dedicated to exploring, discovering, and creating a different future for all. Your donations make this happen. You can contribute at foundationforpossibilities.com.
everyone. Welcome back. I'm here with Wendy, and we're talking about leading through grief. Wendy, right before the break, you were talking about how it's okay to be sad, and of course you're going to miss people, but there's this choice to keep living even though you're sad. Would you talk a little bit about how you chose life after losing your husband? What are some ways that you did that for yourself?
Yeah. Hi again. First up, it's you have to be willing to be kind to yourself. You have to be willing to know that that yes, that person has gone, but they are still wherever they've gone. It's also being willing to know that there's the joy that I found that I could be. And obviously it wasn't joy all the time, but there was also I was aware that the relationship that I had with my husband was a joy in that. So to contribute to him and to me was to allow myself to continue to know that I could still keep living and be a presence with everything that was going on around me. And I suppose it really comes down to it's a choice. And what I've found when you're having any sort of grief or sadness, that if you continue to stay in that, you're unable to receive different possibilities. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's just like grief in this grief a lot is we've bought into that we've got to hold on to it. We've got to, you know, hide away in the cave, and we can't actually. We've got to, like, it's our grief, we've got to exclude ourselves, we've got to separate. Whereas there's also the other possibility of where you can, yes, you can have the sadness, but you can also be willing to receive from others around you, receive the joy of the person who has gone, and know that they would want you to have joy. They would still want you to be happy. They wouldn't want you to be so destroyed, so upset, so that, I mean, that I also know is not going to be a contribution to that being that's, or to what, to the being in your life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of leads into my next question. It's great because I've read this, like, you can use grief to create change in the world, or you can use grief against yourself. Would you say more about that?
Yeah. Well, you can. I mean, you can, there's many, you can use it. And I suppose for me, I have used grief as a way to bring more possibilities in, you know, to see the gifts of what is possible, because you really have to be willing to let your barriers down, be present, and actually allow yourself to know that there could be something else that's possible. So, and it's gone totally out of my brain now what I was going to say.
That's okay. You started to actually.
That's okay. You've been so much space.
Exactly. Yeah, and there was, I could feel it too. There was this invitation to you know, a different possibility. I'm wondering if you'd be willing to walk us through maybe a little exercise.
Yeah, sure.
Like just maybe people can get present to like something that they've been grieving
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
how,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, sure. So, well, maybe what to everyone that's listening, to everyone's maybe just if you're sitting somewhere, put your feet, make sure your feet are on the floor or on the ground or whatever it is, and just have your hands maybe on your lap or on, you know, on your legs or whatever, and just be really and the it's like as you're just sitting there and you feel your hands, you feel your feet on the ground, you feel or on the floor wherever, or if you're lying down, just whatever that is, and just to have your feel your hands on your body, and just close your eyes if you like, and just be with you and your body. And you can also, as you're being that, you can also just allow yourself to expand out. You don't have to think about it, just have to listen to my voice in the sense of just expanding out. You don't have to have any thought to that. Just allow whatever that is, just expand out 100,000 kilometers in all directions. And also just allow for the barriers to come down, or even if you could just imagine like it's a sliding door or a garage door, whatever you want, and you're pulling it down, like you're just letting all of those energies or barriers and just letting them drift out through your feet, and just connecting into the earth, and then coming back up, and then just allowing the energy from the earth to come all the way up and out through your body, and just be with that, and just see, you know, even if you just did that once a day, and see what else or how much more you can relax into actually being present. Because that's another thing with grief, is a lot of people, it's like, where are you? Where did you go? And the more that you can be here, the more that you can be present with your body and ask for the contribution of the earth to assist you, the more awareness, the more clarity, the more choices you have. And the great question to ask, you know, if you have a sense that you're like, where did I go? Where am I? Whose reality am I in? Or whatever that is, it's just like, where's my reality? You know, what's ease for me? Just being with that, you know, just allowing yourself to be with that. And because this world is so busy, and then with all of our thoughts and feelings and emotions, we can then get so easily, you know, connected in to so many other people who've got all these thoughts, feelings, and emotions as well. And then before you know it, you're like, where am I? Who does all this belong to? And that's what I find for me, like just even if it's five things, five minutes in the morning, just being with me and my body and allowing for there to be a presence that I can start my day with.
Oh, it's really beautiful. I could definitely perceive the space in that.
Yeah, it's, you know, 'cause we the big thing that I've found too is the more that I relax, you know, the more I can receive. You know, the more that you know, 'cause we, you know, relaxing is just in a lot of ways, it's, you know, it's like what? It's like, what? What's that? And sometimes it's the simplest things that we choose, can create the most and the greatest.
Wow, I really love that. And I'm wondering, you mentioned like the gifts in, you know, grief. And would you say more about what sort of gifts have you experienced through your grief?
Well, I'm trying to remember now. I think one of the gifts is that we actually have a choice. Like we actually have a choice to, which, you know, we have a choice to live, or we have a choice to die. And a lot of people are like, well, I don't agree with that. But there's also you have a choice. Like I have a choice every 10 seconds. I know that's not helping your question. And honestly, I can't remember any of them now in this moment. But I can probably give like an example. I remember when, for example, when my dad was dying, and I was sitting there with him, and as he was dying, and I was thinking to myself, oh my goodness, you know, this is what I do, you know, this is the area that I work in. What else should I be doing here? I should be able to, you know, do this and do that. And, you know, because one of the things as well is, you know, you can, when someone is dying, you can just put your hands on their feet and just help them to relax more, so it's easier for them in passing. And there's all these things going on in my head. And then I just got, oh, how about I just go home and have a cup of tea. And in that moment, I went and I had the cup of tea, and then the phone rang and I knew that my dad had passed. But in that moment, I saw that it was his choice. It's always our choice to how we want it to be. And, you know, like it's not, and it was just, I suppose it was also, it was a great acknowledgement for me to just being willing to let go, to be willing to let go. And it's up to the person to what they're going to choose and how it is that they want it to be. Because it's like, so it was cool for me to get like, oh, okay, cool. It's, I can be there, I can, you know, can listen to them, support them, but it's also, it's each and everyone's choice to how they would like it to be, and honouring of that, and let go of, just because I might know a little bit about grief, that doesn't mean to say that that's going to, in any case, fix it for someone. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and I think you also touched on something like that I've experienced myself, my stepdad passing away 5 years ago. Like, you know, some of the family did go down this like extreme trauma and drama about what was happening. And like when I showed up to his bedside and told him he could go, he was gone 4 minutes later. So it was like you said, it was his choice, and it was also such a gift to me that he waited so that I could say goodbye.
Yeah.
You know, that was, and then it was so clear that he was ready and he just left. And I even used the Access Consciousness tool, Access Stage Left. Which is also a gift to see how that would work, you know, giving them the invitation, like, you can go now. So,
absolutely. And they're, you know, like, it was just, There is, and there's so many I think when I first wrote that in the back of the book, when I wrote the first book, I think it was, being able to receive the gifts, and I was like, at the time I was like, oh gee, I don't know if I'll put that in, and and now as more and more, it's an area that's been talked about, and more and more that we be with the energy of grief. It's sort of like it's opening up more spaces for more. It's opening up so many more spaces for more possibilities to be available. And I was just, I'm so grateful for that. And even like with, when my husband did unexpectedly die, I was able to, with the possibilities of just having that presence and being me amongst everything, it was just that in itself was such a gift. Like I didn't have to go into resistance and reaction. I could actually be an energy. I could be a possibility. And I knew that I had that choice available if I chose it, which I did.
Wow, that's beautifully put. And we are going to talk more about that. We're going to take a short break here. If you guys have questions for Wendy, please feel free to call 202-570-7057. And we'll be right back.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome back. I'm here with Wendy, and we're talking about leading through unexpected grief. And I was just curious, Wendy, about a little bit more about the title that we chose. You know, like, what are some ways that you found that you could lead through grief?
Yeah, cool. Yeah, good. Cool question. I know. I was like, when I put that up, I was like, am I kidding myself or what? Well, I suppose it's just being willing to, what if we're willing to be the leader in whatever circumstances is showing up? Like, what, and I suppose that was, And that was so interesting because I was just talking to a friend of mine, and she was actually just saying to me the other day, she's like, I was just so amazed. She said, you were seeing you in action when, because it was, a lot was going on with, you know, husband being missing and then being found and then having all the services involved and family and a whole lot going on. And it was really, you know, and she was saying that you were just so willing to be whatever was required in any 10 seconds. And I suppose that was one of the, you know, I really did step into that. Like I could, I still chose to be the, in amongst all of this grief and trauma and unknown, I got to see there was a choice to step into being, you know, and also like everything is shifting and changing in every 10 seconds. And that was a great tool for me to really step into more in, like, you know, somewhere and somebody over there is doing, you know, trauma or resistance, or someone over there is doing wants information, or someone over there is wanting to organize something. And it was, to me, it was a way to, it was really a way to not lose myself in all of the, like all of the sadness and just, I mean, it was easy. I caught the when it did occur, of where I was like, oh, I can't handle this. This is just too much. I was aware of this that came up in my world. I was like, oh, this is too much. I'm just going to throw the towel in. And then there was also this other choice that showed up for me. I was like, well, you have that. But then there's also this space, there's this possibility, there's this ease here that you can choose. You can go with that, not knowing how it's going to look, but you can keep choosing and you can keep being in the next 10 seconds with it. And that was that instantaneously choice and change that I chose. And that was a, it was a gift to me because I saw both. I saw I could go either that way or I could go the other way. And it was like, what's going to contribute the most to me, to my loved one who's gone, and to all of the loved ones around me, and to people that I'm working with the police, with the helicopters, with everything. And it was, so it was really a moment for me to step into being more, again, of being the leader of my own life.
Well, could you speak a little bit to, because I know you and I are aware that death of the body is also not the end. Would you speak a little bit about that?
Well, it's like, I mean, we don't, obviously, you know, we can't, when someone does die, it's like what we don't visibly are able to, you know, to so-called see things or whatever. But to me, it's change. It's actually it's the energy is transformed. There's a change there, and it's like so. What's the word? Like, so that not necessarily whatever it is. It's like it really comes down to, I suppose, to what your point of view is, because your point of view will create your reality. So it's, for some people maybe listening, it's like, well, no, you know, that's it, they're gone. Mm-hmm. To some people it depends. It's like, okay, there's changes occurred and there's a you know, transformation there. It really comes down to that. And I suppose the biggest way I look at it too is like, you know, how you hear those stories or where they say, you know, fairies don't exist or whatever. But mm-hmm. what if, you know, how much have we bought about so much stuff that doesn't exist, and what if there is other possibilities there? So what if we chose more of being a joy, what more can that contribute to that being wherever they may be now? So which has always been my point of view, is the more celebration, the more joy that I have in amongst, okay, obviously there's moments of sadness and there's a rawness there as well, but also like what joy can I be and what can that contribute to, you know, to that being, to wherever they may be now.
Right. And I love what you said, because it definitely is saying, okay, you know, we're not trying to convince you of our point of view, you know, whatever your point of view is perfect for you. But I do know, for me personally, I'm a clairvoyant medium, and so death to me has always been different. It's like I definitely grieve and feel sad for the body, the body dying, but I never have felt like they ceased to exist for me. And so that in itself has always made it easier to be sad and then also just go on living, choose life.
Which is so wonderful. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. When I was 18, sure, lost my dad, that I didn't have that. So I definitely went through the trauma and drama and like it's the end and I thought my dad went to hell or something like that back then. So I'm glad that I don't have that anymore. But like, so what are some tools and maybe questions that you'd recommend people to ask themselves, or the ways that they could choose something different when they're really in the throes of some sadness and grief?
Well, I think one of the tools that I really love is, and it's just, you know, it's just something that you can say like 10 times in the morning and 10 times at night. And it's this one of like, all of life comes to me with ease, joy and glory. So it's all of life. It's the good, the bad, the ugly, the shitty, the fantastic. So and if you say that, like all of life comes to me with ease, joy and glory, and it works. And even, you know, just even that one tool, if you just, you know, first thing in the morning when you wake up, just saying that. So it gives you a space. It gives you, it takes you out of having a point of view of whatever's going to show up, and it allows for something different. And it's just because it's going, all of life comes to you with ease, joy and glory. And I really love that one, and that one was a great one of mine. And or just the one of like, waking up again first thing in the morning, what else is actually possible that I haven't considered would be possible today, is another really favorite one of mine, because it just opens it up for the day. So you don't actually have any conclusion to how the day is going to be, but you're willing to receive that may be showing up. What else is actually truly possible that I haven't considered? Or even just what else is possible? Like, what else is possible is such a simple thing, but they're actually questions that take you out of being stuck in the trauma and drama 24/7. And there is that possibility in the world now. Like, there's more of us choosing something different, and it's allowing for a different space in the world for those who are willing to choose it.
There lies the key.
Yes, absolutely. And it is very and I was even just doing a session yesterday, and it was, I can see that like the energy, you know, people are like, choice. Well, what is choice? Well, if you're in trauma and drama, or you're in, you know, in a funk about something, I totally get it. Choice is not there. But if you actually have that funk going on in your world, just go with what else is possible and continue to say that till you notice a shift in the energy of where there's more of an ease in your world. And then acknowledge that so that you can receive more of it.
So you're saying that acknowledging it actually helps it to attracts more of it to you.
Yeah, yeah, like it's actually being willing to, you know, like just being willing to be like, be that congruency with asking the question of what else is actually possible and being with that, not looking for an answer, and actually just getting to notice then throughout your day when there is a sense of more of a lightness in your world and receiving that lightness and acknowledging that so that you can have more of it. Because you're actually moving yourself out of those stuck areas, you know, in whatever it is that's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that.
And energy is our first language. You know, words is not our, energy is our first language. Words is, you know, second, third.
Wow. Yes, I love that. And I named this show Outside the Impossible, where everything really is possible.
Yeah, love it.
Do you have a story that of something that you thought might be impossible to change that you changed?
Yeah, well, I think to me it was an absolute miracle. You know, the first one that pops to mind is the migraines. Like, I had migraines for years and years and years. I used to have to go to hospital. I used to be, you know, because I used to get so sick with them. I tried everything, and I just, I wasn't probably till the last go, but I tried everything, and I just thought, well, okay, I'm going to have to live with this. I'm going to be, you know, because when I get a migraine, I'll be debilitated for days. And to me, that was the most amazing miracle when I came across Access Consciousness and the bars. And I actually don't, and I mean, I was just like, I don't get migraines anymore. I actually have an ease and a joy in my world. And that to me was just one of the biggest gifts, because I saw, because it really did, it totally debilitated me every couple of weeks. And I was just like, well, maybe this is something that I have to accept, until I actually made such a demand in my world of, this has got to change, or, you know, that's it. I've had enough.
Right. And then you asked,
so,
and you received.
I mean, that's just one. I asked and I received. Yes, exactly. And sometimes it's as simple as that. And like, I would love to say to all the listeners, you know, what asks do you have in your world? And all of the areas of where you think it's absolutely impossible to ask, or you believe it's not possible, just write them down and ask them. Because more and more possibilities are available. The more and more we're all choosing something different, more and more possibilities available for so many more people as well across the planet.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, that is amazing. Wendy, before we run out of time, can you tell us how can people find you?
Yes, I would love to. So, well, they can find me on Facebook, Living With Ease. I have a health and wellness Facebook page there. They can find me on my kindnesswithgrief.com, that's my website, or accessconsciousness.com/Wendy Mulder. There's lots of different classes coming up, workshops coming up. And Skype. I love doing sessions on Skype, which is just Wendy Mulders with an S on the end of Mulder. And lots of things coming up, lots of possibilities. So check it out if it's fun for you.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Promo there.
That's the point. Actually, I'd love for you to share a little bit about in a month from today, even, you have a class starting about grief. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about, like, what's that going to be about? How is that going to work? What's this?
Yeah, cool. Stuff? Well, yeah, it's a Zoom series. It's online, and it's basically a Zoom series. It's online. It's three Zoom series. Technology is not my best part, so I'll do my best. But but you can just come online, and it'll be on a Zoom. And it's basically just, let's just have a conversation about grief and all of those taboo subjects that, you know, that people haven't wanted to talk about. And also for those people who do know a lot about grief that can help people in the world. So that's over 3 weeks. That's possible.
Amazing. Well, thank you so
thank
much,
you so
Wendy.
Much,
it's been so great having you. Have a wonderful day.
Yeah, you too. You too. Bye.
Bye.